All right, so we're excited. Next week's going to be our Christmas program, so there won't be any online service, so kind of keep that in mind. So if you'd like to come out and be a part and watch the kids perform, it's going to be a really awesome thing, so I encourage you to do that. Today we're going to finish up our series on Living God's Will. Something the Lord laid on my heart when we was talking about Thanksgiving was kind of prime the pump. Everybody needs their pump primed every now and then, right? You know what that means? When I was a kid, we had one of those old handle pumps up at my grandpa's house. As you get older, you kind of see things in a different way. Well, that well was right next to the cattle lot. But you know what I'm saying? So the runoff probably went down the well, but you know, back when you're a kid, you don't think about that stuff. But you know, we'd always leave a little water there because it had them leather withers is what they call it. I think that's the correct word. And you had to use that water to dump down in there and get that kind of wet so that it would pull water out of the well. And if you didn't have something to prime the pump, you wouldn't get no water. So sometimes you just got to prime the pump, don't you? Sometimes you just have to do that to be able to get something. And, you know, we prime the pump with God many times when we pray or get into the Word. You know, we start to confess it. Has anybody ever spoken, you know, what God says in the Bible? We need to do that. Say what God says, even though you don't feel like it. Because feelings lie to us, right? They do. That's why we get in trouble sometimes when we live by our feelings, because feelings change. But the Word of God never changes. Amen. So we got to keep that in mind. So, you know, we've been looking at, I guess, practical ways of how to live out God's will. That's a question that a lot of people kind of face. Well, what's God's will for my life? Or, you know, how do I live God's will? Well, God gives us some very practical things, and sometimes, you know, it's so simple, it's pathetic. And that, could we turn these lights up on here, Jason, the fluorescents also? Makes me look a little better. We had some testing done, you know, back in the day. It'd be the second switch on the bottom. No, the other one? Not that one. That one makes me look bad. That one there. Yeah. Oh, that's fine. Put the dimmer on and the fluorescent off. The third one over off on the bottom. And now turn the next row up, the far one to the right, turn it on. There we go. Does that look better? Can you guys tell? Okay, cool. Anyway, we did some scientific testing one time. No, and I'm not going to look too good anyway. I'm going to edit this part out, you know what I'm saying? So we're going to start again. Here we go. You know, we're going to, our series is Living Out God's Will. And, you know, we're looking at how we can do that and the practical ways we can do that because God is a practical God. You know, sometimes we make it hard. We think that everything is just so spiritual. And when we do that, we kind of miss out on, you know, some the moving of God in our life and how that things, you know, we're looking for things that sometimes may not be there. So I believe that God has a plan for each of us and that when we do what he says we're supposed to do, then he does what he promised to do. So that's how it kind of works. We need to step out and to step into what he has. And it's the little things that are important. And I found that obedience in the natural things will open up the door for the supernatural things in our life. And that's just what it takes. So we're going to look today at several verses in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21 to 24. It says, "But examine everything carefully, hold fast to that which is good, abstain from every form of evil, now that the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Then it says, "Faithful is he who calls you, and he will also bring it to pass." Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your stirring in each of our hearts, Lord. We know that you have a plan, and Lord, we want to walk in it. Lord, part of that plan is just to get into the Word and start speaking the Word and doing the Word. And I thank you, Lord, that you're just stirring up the gift inside of me. I want to use it for your glory. And Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips, as well as the gift of Spirit to be in operation in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're going to break this down verse by verse. Now, the first one we're going to look at, it says to examine everything carefully and hold fast to that which is good. So here it tells us some things we need to do. We need to examine it. Look it over, check it out, and then if it's true, you hold on to it. Just a little bit of context is last week we left off where it was talking about, and you look at that verse if you want, it's talking about not despising prophetic utterances. Okay, so the gifts of the Spirit, you know, are something that God has given to the church and that we can flow in those gifts as the Holy Spirit leads. So sometimes what we need to do is to be able to tap in, you know, to what the Spirit of God is doing. And remember what God was doing here through the Apostle Paul. We had two different churches that he told kind of opposite things to a degree. Now, the Corinthian church, they were overzealous. They were just into the Spirit big time, you know, and they were just, you know, speaking in tongues and doing stuff. So what he did in Corinthians, he told them to tone it down a little bit. And sometimes, you know, if you get too spiritual, you'll, you know, make people think you're crazy. Has anybody ever thought you were crazy because you was into God? You know, I remember when I first started out, everybody thought I was crazy, you know, and some people still do, but that's okay. Then the Thessalonian church here, they were probably a little more reserved. And the Apostle Paul here, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, was telling them, hey, don't despise the prophetic utterances. You know, don't criticize what the Spirit of God's doing, just maybe because you don't understand it. And see, that's what happens sometimes. Sometimes if we don't understand it, you know, we criticize it. So people usually criticize what they cannot control. And we cannot control the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm all in favor of the Holy Spirit moving in our services and to be able to take control and do things and be able to set people free. But what we need to do here is that we need to understand that when God is moving, we need to move with Him or we'll miss out. And we kind of looked at that several times about in the Old Testament when the children of Israel come out of Egypt, God was a pillar of fire, a pillar of cloud, and that when the pillar moved, the people had to follow. If the people didn't follow, they got left behind. If you got left behind, you died in the desert. And see, there's a truth there about us spiritually. If we do not follow closely to God, follow the Holy Spirit, you know, then we're going to miss out. We're going to get drier and cracker juice. How many believes that's pretty dry, right? When you're drier and cracker juice. Now, it tells us here to examine stuff. So just because somebody says, thus says the Lord, doesn't mean it's the Lord. Sometimes people want to draw attention to self, right? You know, I remember first got saved and some of my friends or whatever, they would meet together on Friday nights and they'd get all spiritual, you know what I'm saying? Praying and trying to do stuff. And some of it was a little weird. You know, they were trying, but they just needed somebody more mature there to be able to counsel them a little bit. So one of them laid hands on me and said, well, you have the gift of mercy. Well, that's about the farthest from the truth you're ever going to see. You know, I'm gift of prophecy. I'm pretty blunt and just is what it is, and that's the way it goes, you know. But anyway, so they were trying, but yet, you know, they didn't quite have it right. So you had to examine those things. You know, we don't live our life. So what we need to do, if somebody says something, like if we have a prophecy here at church or whatever, you know, we need to make sure first, number one, lines up with the Word of God. Make sure it isn't contrary to the Word of God. Because if it's contrary to the Word of God, well, then it's false. And secondly, if somebody does, like, give you a word, like somebody, some guy walks up to you and says, and you're a single girl, and says, you know, I feel the Lord told me you're supposed to marry me. Well, you better make sure that witness is with your spirit. You know what I'm saying? You know, you just don't do it because somebody said so. You got to make sure, you know, that it lines up with what you're thinking. You know, and especially if you find out he's already married, you know what I'm saying? You know, you got to really sort that out. So, you know, it just comes by us growing in Christ, and that's what we need to do to try to cipher things out. Now, there's two kinds of fire. You know, we need fire. I do believe that with all my heart. There's wildfire and Holy Ghost fire. You know, we need to be able to tell the difference between the two. You know, the idea that, you know, the Holy Spirit, how he works. I'm just going to give a brief little thing on this because we're not going in depth on this. But, you know, the Holy Spirit, as a Christian, if we've learned how to kind of yield to him a little bit and kind of get quiet and, you know, kind of get close to God, you know, the Holy Spirit is going to build us up. You know, the Bible says praying in the Spirit builds up your faith when you pray in the Holy Ghost, okay? So you have that, so it's okay to get built back up. We need that. How many need to be built up spiritually? I think we all do. Because sometimes you just don't get it on our own. You know, we have to really tap into the flow of God. Well, also with that, you know, we want to make sure that we're not drawing attention to self. Now, if you're in service here and all of a sudden you start just, you know, doing things and, you know, praying in the Spirit or something out loud, and, you know, the Bible says it needs to be interpreted for one thing, but also make sure, hey, why am I doing this? Am I wanting everybody to see I'm spiritual? You know, we got to check our motives, right? The Old Testament dealt with the actions. The New Testament deals with our motives. There's a difference between the two. And that's why the New Testament is so much better. So if we can figure out the why, and we fix that, what is going to be solved? You know what I mean? We're going to be able to not get in the kind of trouble we used to if we can figure out why we do certain things. You know, and that's very important. Okay, so that wildfire sometimes usually draws attention to self. Now, the Holy Spirit, when he inspires gifts, like in the local body, you know, it builds up the body of Christ, and that's our goal. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. He wants the local body to be built up, to be strong. It's better if we're strong. You know, nothing worse than being weak spiritually. That's a tough thing to be, because you got the t-shirt, right? I'm a Christian, right? Somebody bought the t-shirt, you know? But if you're weak spiritually, it doesn't flow as good. So we need to make sure we try to bring it all in. And then once we sort it out, it says hold fast to that which is good. That means to possess it. Make it yours. Own it. When God reveals something to you in his word, you need to own that. That's mine. That's mine. That's mine. Nobody's going to take that away from me. You know, God gave that to me. You know, when I got the revelation that I was a new creation in Christ, the devil couldn't steal that no more. You know, because I used to waver a little bit back and forth. And maybe some of you have, or maybe some of you still are a little bit. But I'm here to tell you, God can straighten that out. God can get you fixed up so we're not all over the place, not all over the radar, you know, like a roller coaster Christian, up and down, up and down. But see, once we own something, nobody can take that away from you. Right. And you need to own your faith. You need to own it. It's mine. And allow God to start to really move in your life. So I believe that if God takes the time to give us a word, then we need to grab a hold of it and not let it go. Next point I want to look at here is in 1 Thessalonians 5:22. It talks about abstaining from every form of evil. Now, these are kind of getting a little practical, and it may step on our toes every now and then. Has anybody ever done anything evil, or what God calls evil? We may not call it evil. See, what God calls evil is totally different than what the world calls evil. See, the world, there's a lot of things that God calls evil that they don't consider evil. But God doesn't do it, so he doesn't want us to have fun. God tells us to stay away from things because sometimes they're going to hurt us. They're going to make us so that we feel maybe emotional or spiritual pain. So when we abstain from evil, it's talking about needing to have self-restraint. Self-restraint. Everybody like that word? Self-restraint. Well, self-restraint, I mean, back in the day, I used to really like 32-ounce cups of a pop. You know, big gulps, they called them out in Denver at the 7-Eleven. And I was driving a service truck, so I was always driving by a 7-Eleven. You know what I mean? They're almost on every corner out there. And how many know, as you get older, you know, maybe I didn't really need 32 ounces of pop at one time. Think about it. For your health and everything, how much sugar that is. Well, I remember I said, bless God, you know, I am not, because that was evil to me. Because it was hurting my body, my temple of the Holy Spirit. So, you know, I said, bless God, I'm not going to drink those no more. I'll tell you what, every time, just driving every block, I just grab a hold of the steering wheel. I'm not turning in. You know what I mean? So sometimes that's self-restraint, where you don't allow yourself to indulge in some things that you know that are bad for you. See, what's bad for me and what's bad for you sometimes might be a little bit different. You know, so, you know, we don't want to judge people because they do some things that, you know, we don't think we can do. But the goal is to find out what's evil. Now, God tells us in the Word what's evil. I'm not going to go into all those because I think most of you can probably figure out what some of them are. So when we exercise self-restraint, it talks about having a sound mind. That means our mind is engaged and we understand things, what we need to do. And we need a clear picture. Okay. Now, in saying that, we need to make sure that we don't put ourselves in a position to fail. You know what I'm saying? There's certain things that maybe we're not strong enough in the Lord to stay away from. And if we put ourselves close to that, you know, how many know there why there's guardrails on a highway when it goes around the corner? You know, nobody wants to hit a guardrail, right? But you know what's worse than hitting the guardrail? Going off the road into the ditch. So we need to have some guardrails in our life that'll keep us on the road and not to go in the ditch. So we need to know some things, you know, what we need to stay away from. You know, one I've always heard, and it's easy, if you struggle with pornography, well, for crying out loud, you do know some things to stay away from, right? You know, you do some buttons on the computer you may not ought to click or to watch certain things, you know, maybe TV shows or movies. You know, if pornography is an issue in your life. Why? Because once you, pornography, you know how our mind, there's a lot of neurotransmitters. I'm not really a scientist, but in this movie, I'm pretending to be one. But, you know, that our brain is wired a certain way that once you go do something, like you've heard me say before, it's like them old cow paths. Cows get in a habit of walking on that same path, and that's why they cut that rut out in the field. Well, our mind gets like that. If we're used to going to a certain thought process, and I'm using pornography as an example, you know, if your mind goes there, you know, the first few times, it may take a little bit of getting there, but as your mind goes there more and more, it's faster. A split second, you're there. So that's why you need to make sure you know what's bad for you, what to stay away from, and it could be anything in your life. You know, maybe your marriage is struggling. So maybe staying away from, you know, things that undermine marriage would be a good idea. There's just a lot of things you can do, you know, to help yourself. So we need to know two things. We need to know a lot of things, but two things we need to know is what's our weakness and who's our enemy. What's your weakness? And the thing is, if we say, I don't have any weaknesses, pride is your weakness. Right? Because we all have something. We all have blind spots. It's proven in science that none of us can see the full 360 around us. Just like in a car when you're driving, you know, down the interstate, if you creep over into the other lane, you don't really look. Well, there's even if you do look in your mirror, sometimes there's still a blind spot. And you don't see that person there because they were just hidden by something. And so that's the way it is in our life. We all have things that we don't maybe see as clear. And that's why we need to know what those are. And having somebody in your life, you know, you give permission. Have you ever given anybody permission? Hey, if you see anything going on in me that's wrong, just tell me. Well, that friendship is over pretty quick, ain't it? Right? Because they tell you. Well, this is going wrong. That's going wrong. Well, you can't tell me. Well, you told me to tell you. Right? But we need that. We need people in our life that'll tell us the truth, you know, and not lie to us. So, and to remember that even the appearance of evil can taint our witness. The appearance of evil. And putting ourselves in a position like that. Just like me, when I counsel a woman, my goal is to never be in the church alone when I counsel a woman. You know, to be honest, I don't have an issue in that area. But just the fact that I'm in that position can happen. Now, there's been a time or two when I've been caught here off guard. I'm out here by myself and, you know, somebody shows up. I remember a young girl came by one day. She was in our church and she had a serious problem. And just in about 5 minutes, God revealed what it was. She got set free. But she gave me a bear hug like you wouldn't believe. You know, but I was feeling kind of uncomfortable. I mean, it wasn't sexual, but I knew that this could be interpreted by somebody wrong. And so you got to use the same wisdom not to put yourself in that position. You know, if you're married, you know, be careful going out with people of the opposite sex for lunch and things like that. It just, things can happen. And, you know, I get invited to, or I do weddings and sometimes they're off site, you know, and my conviction, I don't drink. I mean, I haven't had alcohol for years. It was bad for me. And I signed a piece of paper with the organization I'm with that I can't drink that, and that's fine. Don't bother me a bit. But, you know, if they only have Budweiser cups, you know what I mean, to drink water out of, I'm careful about that. Because what people see a pastor doing, I have to live a squeakier, clean life than some people do. Because people justify their actions based on what I do. And so I know that that goes with the territory of me. So I'm aware of that. It's not a problem. I mean, but, you know, it's something to think about. As a Christian, you know, I found it's hard to preach to people about something and then you go do it yourself. Man, that's a tough one, ain't it? But anyway, I'm not dismissing if you want to drink a beer or something. I'm not saying that. But for me, I can't. Right. You know, that's an area. It was a weakness for me because I didn't drink to have fun. Well, it was, but I drank to get drunk because I just enjoyed that feeling. Because I'm kind of wound tight. Maybe you guys have noticed some of that sometimes. So that was a way for me to, I guess, unwind or whatever. But, you know, now I got the Holy Ghost, you know. And I thank God he set me free because that's an area that I never thought I could be free from. And he did it. And I just give God all the glory. So next passage, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now this is kind of what I want to get to. This is a foundational part. This is something that you and I each need to understand. And we've went over this in the last, however old the church is, about, what is it, 18 plus years? I don't remember how old it is. 20-some years? I don't know. 20-something. Yeah, we're 27 or 8 years old. I don't remember. But anyway, it just seems like yesterday. Yeah. But anyway, 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. And may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, what we see there is the importance of God wants to sanctify us. And this is one of those big Christian words. You know, Christianity has some big words sometimes that we have to deal with. And sanctification is one of them. And what the word sanctify means is to make holy or set apart for holy use. Remember in the Old Testament, it talked about when they was building the tabernacle. Well, they'd use certain things, like you had the laver and you had the candle stand, all these things. And what God did is that he sanctified them. And they were set apart to only be used for God. Just like, you know, we're not that big into religion, our church, but see this little table back here that says, "In remembrance of me"? That's a communion table. And so if we were super religious, and I'll be honest, we don't dance on that table. That's not what I'm saying. But we only use that for communion. You know, for the most part. I have set some candles there on a candlelight service. But you know, that table has been set apart to only be used for holy use. So we don't eat meals at that table. You know, it's something that's been sanctified or set apart. And the idea here is that we need to get it in our mind that we understand that once you become a Christian, you've been set apart by God for holy use. I know sometimes we fail. I do know that, right? But here it talks about the idea of a three-part being: spirit, soul, and body. And what the problem is sometimes is we don't understand what each of those mean. And we have to really get that down because then we can understand a little bit about ourselves. Now, without jumping ahead too far, we understand that the spirit and soul, you can't really see those things, right? They're invisible. They're on the inside of us. But you can see the body. The body is the shell. So that's easy for us to define. But we're going to look and see here what each of these sort of mean. Because God says that we're supposed to set apart our spirit, our soul, and our body. Now, how I've always had it explained to me, and you've heard me say this, man is a spirit, he has a soul, and he lives in a body. Like I said, this is foundational teaching. If we can understand this, we can understand much of the things that God is trying to tell us in the scriptures. And so it comes down to the premise of who we are, and what we have. The problem with a lot of believers, number one, they don't know who they are. They still think I'm just, you know, an old sinner saved by grace. Well, that's just to get your foot in the door, people. Once you, you know, like I've always said, you know, maybe until you get married, you're the person. But once you get married, you enter into a relationship. It changes everything. And, you know, if you're the poorest person in town and you marry the richest person in town, well, guess what? More opportunities. You've changed. You've stepped into a different relationship. And now you're not poor anymore. Right? You're not poor anymore. And it's like that. We come to God as a sinner and separated from Him and all these problems. And then we step into a relationship with God. And now we're a new creation, the Bible says. Well, we remember the Bible says God is a spirit, right? We're created in His image. So it's our spirit part of us. Remember, you got spirit, soul, and body. It's the spirit of us that is made brand new. And it's as new as it's ever going to get once you become born again. And God is a spirit, like I mentioned, so how we communicate with God is through our human spirit. That's the best way. Just like if you go to Mexico and you don't speak Spanish, it's going to be a little more difficult in some areas, right? Because you can't communicate with that person because you just can't understand each other. And that's like it is when we're born the first time. We're born separated from God because of the sin of Adam. And then, you know, here we are trying to communicate with this God, and we don't really speak the language. Now, God does what He can, but it's best if we're born again. How many knows, have found out so far, that since you become a Christian, it's easier to communicate with God? Amen. You know? Amen. I mean, I'm not talking like we just talk like you and I are all the time, but I mean, you usually have that connection spiritually where you can experience God in a deeper way. And that's important, you know, that we understand that. And the reason why is because sometimes we mess up. Has anybody ever messed up since you become a Christian? You know, you get that. Once you become a Christian, you're a new creation. You're brand new. Old things have passed away. That means the old sin nature is gone. New things have come. Well, that's a perfect case scenario. But then you have your soul. Your soul is your mind, your will, your intellect, and your emotions. That's kind of your personality. Now, the Apostle Paul, I don't know about you, but I regard him as one of the greatest influencers. You know, everybody's into influencers now. All these people got followers. Well, the Apostle Paul was one of the greatest influencers when it comes to the kingdom of God. God used him to write 2/3 of the New Testament. Well, here's this spiritual giant having all these things go on. But then in Romans 7, he says, man, sometimes I do things I don't want to do. Well, what's that? Here's a spiritual giant saying that he struggles sometimes. Well, that's because he's dealing with the same thing you and I are. See, our soul, the Bible says in Romans 12:2, needs to be renewed by the Word of God. So just because you become a Christian doesn't mean you start thinking correctly yet, right? So those are things in our life that we need to kind of deal with. And it's a process. It's a process, you know, how we grow. And, you know, it's the two natures that are at battle inside of us. We've got the new nature and the old nature. Oh, it'd be so sweet if the old nature just, it's dead, but every now and then it just keeps coming to life. And that comes by sometimes where we position ourselves in life, what we hang around, who we hang around. If we're hanging around people that are always dragging us back into the world, well, it's only natural that worldly cravings, you know what I mean? Carnal cravings. Because we have those carnal cravings sometimes that are separate from God and how we need to kind of deal with those things. Because God wants us to walk in victory. And, you know, the old flesh nature, some plays like King James calls it the old man. You know how many women are sitting next to the old man right now? No, that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about that old nature. The old nature that tries to, you know, lead us astray. To me, it's only natural that we should want to develop our spiritual life, but usually ends up being the one that's the most neglected. We neglect ourselves spiritually, you know, because we go after all these things. And what I found out is that it's dangerous for a Christian just to live out of their soul, especially if it's not been renewed. Because what happens is sometimes when we become a Christian, we start to gain some sort of confidence in our life, but yet we can be wrong. Nobody's perfect here, right? There's only one, the one with the holes in his hands and in his feet. He's the only one that's perfect. You and I are still, you know, going through a process of this changing, and it won't really take place totally till Jesus comes. Because you and I are prone to live out of our five physical senses. What we see, what we hear, what we touch, what we taste, what we smell. See, those are things that over life we've learned to trust. Touch something hot, it hurts, right? So what'd you learn there? Don't do that again. Right? Hopefully. If you're driving down, or if you're, you know, going down the road or walking through a timber, and you look up and there's a low branch and you've been hit in the face a few times. Has anybody ever followed anybody through the timber? You know, they'll walk through the timber and that branch will drag with them. And then all of a sudden when they get by, wow, it gets the second person. Well, how many's learned that? Hey, I see that coming now. You know, so there are some things you can learn with your five physical senses that, you know, that do help us. But, you know, we can't trust them because God's a supernatural God. So, you know, sometimes when, you know, we've learned that when our body feels bad, that means we're sick. But God says in his word that he can heal us too. So even though, you know, I'm not denying the fact that we still have the symptoms, but sometimes we need to look past the symptoms into the promise. Okay, get to that place. And I'll be honest, that's a battle. That's a hard one. That's a hard one. But we should keep fighting. Could start to see that miracle. Now, lastly, we see the body. I'm going to try to wrap this up here. The body is the shell. Everybody needs one, right? If you want to live on this planet, what do you got to have? A body. You got to have an earth suit. That's what we call them. You have an earth suit. If you don't have one of these, you're not really here. And see, that's why the devil tries to come in. He tries to sometimes possess people's body. Now, what does a spirit of lust need to manifest? It needs a body. It needs the body to work through. You know, spirit of greed needs a body to work through. You know, so that's kind of, you know, what we need to be aware of. And the devil wants to try to do that. Now, what I like about this is the fact that God chose to try to redeem all three parts of man, spirit, soul, and body. When Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden, they sinned, we were separated from God. It's amazing. God could have started all over. He had everything he needed to start all over. He could have just kicked Adam and Eve to the curb and said, here's a new man. Just get some dirt, form it up, breathe on it, new life. But God didn't do that. And a revelation I want you to get. God did not give up on Adam and Eve, and he will not give up on you. So no matter what mistake we've made, no matter what we've done in our life, know this, that God's not going to give up on you. He wants you to keep coming back to him. He's the Father that loves us no matter what, that unconditional love. And, you know, sometimes, like I've shared, you know, sometimes us parents, we make the mistake of, you know, letting the kids, it's a misunderstanding, but what it is that we love the kids if they do what we say. You ever done that as a parent? We don't mean to, but sometimes we send that signal that if you don't do what I say, I may not love you anymore. Even though we don't say it, we act like it. Well, see, God's not that way. God loves you no matter what. Now, the blessings are conditional. We know that. That's a different thing. You know, but, you know, the love is always there, and we need to make sure as a parent we always try to show that, you know, to our children. Also, God did the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that kind of shows us that he didn't want to give up, you know. It would have been easy, so easy, if, You know, when Jesus died and rose again, if just his spirit and soul would have rose, it would have been their word against ours, right? He took the body with him. That's proof. Proof that he did it. Then it talks about being complete or blameless, mature. Not perfect. See, that's what we misunderstand. Now, blameless means no legitimate ground for accusation. We're going to get accused. We're going to get attacked. But know this, that we can overcome, you know, those things by choosing to walk in God's maturity. Lastly, I want to close with this in 1 Thessalonians 5:24. It says, faithful is he who calls you, and he will bring it to pass. Sometimes we forget about God's faithfulness. I mean, God's there. And we think it's up to us, the whole thing. Now, I believe in being a doer of the Word of God. I understand that concept. But, you know, we need to get to the place that sometimes we just let go and let God. Because God's the one who's going to do the working of us. And that means that we have to come to the place in our life and our walk with God that we have total trust in his faithfulness. God did it once, he'll do it again. God did it for me once, he's going to do it again. And we need to get to that place so it's just a part of our life so that we understand that he's going to bring it to pass. And we need to trust in God working in our lives. It's about his plan. Now, see, a lot of people, you know, say, I just want to find God's will. I want to find God's plan. Understand this. God also wants you in his plan, in his will. Sometimes we think God's playing hide and seek. You know what I'm saying? You ever felt that way? God, where are you? What is this? You know, what's going on? But see, it's God wants us in his plan. He's going to try to help us and to get us there. Okay, so you and I, we are still under construction. And our spirit was made new and our soul's being renewed and it's going through some remodeling. Has anybody ever done any remodeling? Tried to fix up an old house or something? You know, sometimes you have to strip her down to the bare studs, don't you? Because it's too far gone. And when you do that, then you start to rebuild. And see, that's what we're doing. Sometimes, you know, I remember God, when I first started out, this is another thing he had to deal with me, it was pride. I had a little bit of pride. I've always been fairly decent at a lot of different things. Maybe being a farm boy, you just had to do everything. You know, we usually didn't hire things done. We just had to figure it out. So maybe I had some pride, but then, you know, God, you know, he had to humble me. And what I found out when I came to the kingdom is that when I humble myself, I just have to be willing for God to work in my life, that God, if God reveals something to me I need to fix or quit, I just need to do that. Simple as that. And that's what you and I need to do. You don't need, you know, somebody harping over you, telling you what to do. And what I do is pray, and I pray this about every day. God, I want your perfect will to be done in my life. I do pray that too. I may have prayed that. Praise God. That was a slip. I slipped there. No. I do pray for my life. I pray for my wife. I pray for my children. I want God's will done in their life because I believe God's will is better. That was a good save, wasn't it? That wasn't bad. Yeah, amen. Won't be on the couch tonight, praise God. All right. Well, that concludes our online portion of it. We're going to close in prayer here.